God's people just said,
amen.
Amen. The Lord's already been good to us tonight. I'm telling you, I appreciate these folks coming and talking to the Lord. That's a good thing to do. If you got problems, bring them to Jesus. Just cast all of your care upon Him, for He said, I care for you. That's great news, isn't it? The Lord loves us and cares for us. And I'm glad I know that. Glad to have my wife with me. She and I have been married. This coming June the 8th will be 62 from 2015. I bet 53, won't it? 53 years. This coming June the 8th, and I've been ordained as a preacher since June the 25th, 1961. So that'll be 54 years. I've been saved about 65 years, and the Lord's good. Somebody say, ain't God good? He is good. And I appreciate seeing some folks I sort of recognize a little bit. This brother here about the fourth bench back has been to our church many times in our revivals, and I'm so glad he's here tonight along with all of you. And I appreciate the young man that helped us get here. Stand up, son. He saw us struggling a little bit. We was on the right road, but it just seemed like we didn't know if we was or not. He said, you just follow me. And so he saw us asking some folks, and I appreciate that, son. God bless you. You was at the right place at the right time as far as me and Janie goes. Let's stand together and open our Bibles to the book of James, chapter number 5. The book of James, right in the back of the New Testament, the Hebrews and James, and then 1st and 2nd Peter, and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, right in the back of the New Testament, James chapter 5. I'll begin reading there at verse number 17 and read through the remainder of that chapter, which is verse number 20. The scripture said, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. Before you sit down, let's read 17 and 18 again. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You may be seated. Well, there was a description, a word that was used, a kind of prayer that would be good for us to pray in our Sunday school quarterly a long, long time ago. And what the word was and what it was suggesting to you and I is that we need to be able, and sometimes we need to pray push prayers. Now, have you ever heard that? That we need to be able to pray push prayers. Somebody might say, what do you think that means, that word push, P-U-S-H? What kind of prayers is that? Well, the definition of that push is pray until something happens. And we need to be able to do that. You know, a lot of times we just pray a while and then we'll just give up. We'll just say it ain't going to happen. And we just give up. But see, that's not what the scriptures teach. It teaches us that we're to pray until something happens. Now, Elijah was a man that was like that. He told them that it'll not rain except at my word. And the Bible said it rained not for a period of 3 years and 6 months. Elijah must have had some connection with God. Because, see, God is in control of the rain and the wind. And here's a man of God that could just speak to God and ask Him not to let it rain. And the Bible said it rained not. But then the Bible said in this verse that we read, Elijah prayed again. And the heavens gave rain. He actually warned Ahab, and even had been dry for 3 years and 6 months, hadn't rained at all. He said to Ahab, you better get out off this mountain. And he said, that there's going to rain come. Said, it's going to rain, Ahab. I guess the king probably snarled up his nose and said, well, it'll beat what it's been doing lately. It ain't rained in a long time. But Elijah was a man of God that would pray until something happened, till God heard and answered his prayer. And so the Bible said, oh, Elijah goes up and gets down on his face before God. Somebody said, Brother Clinton, what is the right position to pray in? It's the one that you're the humblest in. Now, some people can pray standing up, but their hearts knelt down. But there's other people that kneel down, but their heart's standing up. I'd rather that one pray that's standing up with his heart nailed than that one pray that he's knelt, but his heart's standing up. But it's always good to humble yourself as best you can when you're going to ask God to do something for you. Amen. God respects humility. Somebody said, why don't God hear me? Maybe you're not humble before him. The Bible said, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And he that exalteth himself shall be abased. If we'll know how to humble down, God will hear and answer our prayers. Elijah got humble before God, and Elijah asked God to let it rain. And he sent his servant out to investigate the heavens and see if there's any sign of rain, maybe a little cloud somewhere. Any size or shape? Do you see any sign of rain? The servant come back to Elijah and said, Brother Elijah, I don't want to discourage you, but it sure don't look rainy to me. No sign of rain. So Elijah said, well, I'll just go home. No. Elijah said, God ain't hearing today. He's got the phone off the hook. He said, heaven's line's busy. Somebody's on talking to God and I can't get him. None of that's true. You know what I'm saying? That the Bible said Elijah prayed again. And he sent his servant out again, and the servant came back with the same report. Elijah, there is no sign of rain. And then it said he prayed again. The Bible said he prayed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times, and the result of all 6 prayers was there's no rain inside. There's no rain coming. It's a beautiful day. The sun shining. It ain't going to rain. But then the Bible said Elijah prayed again, that 7th time. That 7th time, and the Bible, 7 is the number of perfection. And if you want to get to playing on numbers, you can just say Elijah prayed enough time to get the job done. I heard this preacher, that preacher was a young preacher, and they said his text was 490. That's what he preached on, 490. Well, would you know what he's going to preach about if you'd been there listening to him? He said, I'm preaching on 490. You got that right, Jim. And so, you know, Jesus was asked one time, how many times should we forgive each other? Till 7 times? And Jesus said, I say not to you till 7 times, but till 7 times 70, which is in Marietta and in Silver Creek and Cartersville. It's 490 times. We've got to forgive folks as often as they want us to forgive them. Elijah prayed enough times till God heard his prayer. He pushed on. He prayed till something happened. The little servant come back and he said, Elijah, don't get too excited. This is Clinton Green commentary. He said, don't get too excited. Elijah said, there is a little cloud. There's a little cloud, and it's about the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, we got to get out off this mountain. The king got to get out off the mountain. The Bible said there was a great rain. Elijah prayed until something happened. The disciples, before Jesus' death, he gave them an instruction, or maybe immediately after his death, and said, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And the Bible said they went over and they went into the upper room and they began to pray. They were all in one accord in supplication to the Lord. And you know what they was praying for? For God's promise to be fulfilled. They was praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit as God had promised them that they would be endued with power on high. Everybody was praying in agreement. They were in accord. They were praying for the same thing to happen, the Holy Spirit to come, and they be endued with power from on high. So they was praying. That's in Acts chapter number 1. But then in Acts chapter number 2, verse 1, the Bible said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," the Bible said they were all with one accord and in one place. And the Bible said the Spirit descended in like a dove, the sound of a rushing mighty wind, rather. The Bible said the Spirit came as a sound of rushing mighty wind. The Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And 3,000 souls were saved at that Pentecostal meeting. Well, somebody might say, "What kind of Baptist are you, Brother Clinton?" I'm a Baptist that believes in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I'm a Baptist that believes without Him, you ain't His. And I'm one that believes all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And I'm one that believes brethren should pray that holy manna would be showered all around. And I'm one that believes sisters could join and help them because Moses' sister aided him. I believe you ought to pray in the revival. Push, pray. Pray until something happens, till God fills us with His power and His presence, because it takes that to get the job done for the Lord. These disciples of the Lord, they prayed until something happened. Can you imagine how they felt when they felt what they felt? Can you? I don't know if I've ever said that exactly that way, but can you imagine how they felt when they felt what they felt? See, the Holy Ghost hadn't come at that time. They had followed Him by sight. But He said, "Don't worry. He said, I'm going to go away, but says something's going to happen when I go." Amen. He said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to pray to my Father." And He said, "He gonna send you another comforter." He said, "He'll be in you." Woo! He said, "He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll teach you." He said, "He gonna get inside of you and He'll help you do business for Him." So you imagine how they felt when the Holy Ghost came. They'd been scared and they'd been afraid, and now they're just like little bulldogs out there after the devil. Amen. Preaching the gospel. They throw them in jail. They'd get out. They say, "Why are they doing?" They say, "They're back out there doing what you put them in jail for." We need to pray. The disciples prayed till God filled them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then over in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, there was a man that got a death message. The man of God, Isaiah, said, "Go over to Hezekiah's house and tell him to set his house in order, for he's going to die and not live." Can you imagine Isaiah knocking on the door of Hezekiah's house and said, "God sent a word for you"? And maybe Hezekiah sort of got a little excited, thinking it's going to be a good word. Maybe Hezekiah got a little bit sort of jubilant, thinking there's a good word coming from God through Isaiah, the man of God. You know, you'd hear words from God through the man of God. I tell folks, it don't matter what I say. But if God said it, you better believe it. Amen. Brother Harvey Brown, anybody ever remember him? He preached the night I got saved. That's been about 65 years ago. But he used to have a saying. He said I would say, "God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it." Well, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? How many thinks that's a pretty good saying? God said it, I believe it, and that settles. You know what he said? God told him, said, "Harvey Brown, you ain't right." Said, "What you said ain't right." I guess Harvey probably said, "What you talking about, Lord?" I said, "You said it." He said, "You sure did say that." He said, I believe it. He said, I know you said that, Harvey. And he said, I said, that settles it. And God said, I know exactly what you said. God said it, I believe it. That settles it, but that ain't right. That's what he told him. He said, what you talking about, Lord? He said, Harvey Brown. He said, it don't matter if you believe it or not. He said, if I said it, that settles it. Amen. Amen. It don't matter, Harvey Brown, what you believe. If you believe it or not, if I said it, the Bible said God's word is forever. It's sealed in heaven. It's sealed in heaven. And if God said it, you can believe it. It don't matter who else don't believe it. So Isaiah said to Hezekiah, don't have good news for you, Hezekiah. God says, set your house in order. For you're going to die and you're not going to live. Now Isaiah walks out the door, starts on his way back to wherever he was going, home or wherever. And after he leaves the house, old Hezekiah turns his face towards the wall. And he begins to cry out to God, asking, I think, in my interpretation, asking for mercy. Asking to be spared. Asking that God would give him a little bit more time. You know what happened? God spoke to Isaiah before he got far down the road and said, Isaiah, and he said, yeah, Lord. You got to go back to Hezekiah's house. And this is Clint Green thinking out loud with y'all, okay? He said, I just left his house. But he said, you got to go back. Said, I got new news for him. He said, you go back and tell Hezekiah I've heard his prayer. God had heard his prayer, seen his tears, and said, I've added 15 years to Hezekiah's life. I've heard his prayer. Oh, Hezekiah prayed. He pushed. He prayed until something happened. It didn't take long. Sometimes it don't. Sometimes it may take years for God to cause your prayers to be answered. A lot of mothers and daddies pray for years for their children. But don't give up praying. Just push on, pray until you hear the news they made it in. They got saved. Just don't never give up on nobody. I was reading today, I think of somebody 93 years old got saved. 92 or 93 years old, got saved. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Well, you don't have to. I do. Amen. And I believe that person does. That person got saved. Sometimes the Bible said the Lord is plenteous in mercy and don't overrun the days of grace and thank God to just keep dealing with it. But the Bible said he's plenteous in mercy and he's always ready to forgive. But don't use that as an excuse because the Holy Spirit also can be withdrawn from you. There was a man, somebody told him, said, I'm praying for you to get saved. He said, don't do that. And the man that told him that was surprised that this man didn't want him to pray for him to get saved. It sort of took him by surprise for him to say them words. He said, don't pray for me to get saved. But he said, what I do want you to pray for me is that I can get under conviction. What he was saying is God had dealt with him in the past and he had said no. And now God was not dealing with him. And he knew the prerequisite to getting saved is you've got to be drawn by the Holy Spirit. And he said, don't pray that I get saved. Pray that God will give me another chance and convict me again. And I'm ready to give my heart to Jesus. Pray until something happened. There's just two or three things I want to say, sort of bring these thoughts to a conclusion now. But as Elijah, we need to pray till it rains. Now I'm not talking about physical rain, even though I sure like pretty rain. As a little boy, I used to sit on the porch in a mill village and watch it rain on our dirt yard in Pepperell Mill Village. And it's good to just look out the window sometime and just watch it rain. But I'm talking about we need God to rain righteousness on us. We need God to rain His presence, His blessings on us. We need to sing that old song as we pray sometimes. There shall be showers of blessings. And ask God to send showers of blessings in our life. God can do that. He can bless His children. And just in case you didn't know this, that's what God wants to do to His children. Bless them. Amen. And you think about that as earthly parents, hadn't you rather do something good for a child than to whoop them any day? Well, if you're like that, your earthly parents, how much more is God like that to His children? Because, see, that word Abba in the Bible means daddy, and daddy loves his children, and God wants to bless you. Ask Him to send showers of blessings into your life. Sometimes people say, Brother Clinton, I've been a long time without being blessed. Well, it ain't God's fault. It isn't God's fault. He's been wanting to bless you. He's been wanting to rain showers of blessings on you. What is it that you won't let Him do that? Amen. Because He wants to. We need to pray, God, send the spiritual rain in our hearts in revival. Amen. And then that second thing about the day of Pentecost, we need to pray that God will fill us with His good Holy Spirit. You know what the Bible said? Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But the Bible said, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, I don't know about you, but I can tell folks when they're doing things the Spirit's with them. I can tell. It sort of bears witness. It will sort of flow from heart to heart and breast to breast. I'm telling you, when God shows up in a meeting, nobody has to tell anybody He's here, because everybody will know that God's here. When God gets here, He'll show out in the meeting. Pray that the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, I love to feel His presence. Tell the experience I had one day. I was pastoring a little church in Calhoun, Georgia, and the Lord was blessing us, and the little church was doing pretty good, and I was going up the road towards Calhoun. I was coming out of Rome, and I got to thinking about God's blessings, and I just got a little bit happy in my car, just me and the Lord. I mean, I got to feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, Brother Clinton, can you only fit Him in the church? I hope not. Because He'll be with you. Like they sung tonight, He'll go everywhere, son. He don't leave you. He don't strand you. He's always there. He'll be with you. And all of a sudden, I looked in my mirror, and I saw a blue light. And I knew I wasn't in Kmart because I was on the road. It wasn't no blue light special going on. So back in those days, you know, the thing you need to do is get your license and your insurance card and present it to the officer when he come to the window. Now they got it on computer and a lot of stuff. They'll tell you more about yourself than you can sometime. It's scary in this world. But anyway, I got both of mine, and I had them ready. And when he come, I presented them to him, and he looked at them. My license was in benefit. They were in the grace period. They were active. My insurance was good. And so on both of them, I made an A. And I really wasn't doing anything really bad, but I was just a weaving a little bit. And so what he said, Mr. Green, said you was making some strange movement going up the road. You know what I told him? I told him, I got stopped for shouting. Amen. Because that's all that was going on. I mean, I was just feeling God. And I just was feeling the Lord, and I just got a little happy as all that's going on, and there ain't no law against shouting. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, Brother Clinton, I ain't got happy in a long time. Well, won't you try? Ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost afresh. Somebody said, Brother Clinton, I've got Him, but sometimes He needs to get you more than He's got you. Now, can I say something? I'll be through and just want to get done, but I'm about done. But now, let's know we don't have any Holy Ghost folks in here, like Holy Ghost people, Church of God. If they are, don't leave me till I get through, and you'll be all right with me, okay? If you leave me right when I start to say something, you're going to get your feelings hurt. But if you'll stay and I get through with what I'm fixing to say, you'll like me. Because a lot of people say, I've got the Holy Ghost. Now that sounds a little bit like they're in control. I've got Him. But what you need to be able to say is, the Holy Ghost has got me. Woo! That means He's in control. He's the one that's in control. He'll bless you if He's in control in your life. And then finally, from Hezekiah, you know what we need to get from that? We need to pray until God gives mercy. I appreciate all of you that prayed the altar tonight. That was such a blessing. Somebody said, Brother Clinton, should they done that? They sure should have. Amen. Don't wait when you're burdened and you can't enjoy the meeting because of something going on in your life. Bring it to the Lord and repent, or whatever you need to do, lay it at His feet and get up and holler, praise God, let's have meeting tonight. Amen. Because a lot of times when you call for mercy, He answers the call. While the musicians come, Brother Jeff stands in front with us tonight. I think about that passage in the book of Hebrews where the writer said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Sometimes we just need to pray until something happens and God shows mercy. What was it that publican and sinner went down to church and the little sinner boy said, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible said that man went home justified because God had mercy. So would you stand with us tonight while they're singing the song?